We want to talk today about the call that and the invitation, the command that God gives us to trust his faithfulness. To trust his faithfulness. And I don't know what this year or the last 18 months has been like for you. For some, there has been great growth. Others, incredible disappointment. Maybe there's been loss. And sometimes when circumstances are tough, we begin to perhaps see God in a different light. Or we begin to attribute certain things to him. But throughout Scripture, when times were good or when times were bad, God tells his people, trust me, trust me. And it was what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. And he commissioned them, but he said, look, there's a fruit that's bad. It's going to hurt you. Don't eat it. And take me at my word. And then because you believe me, then obey me. And how many of us know that sadly Adam and Eve did not trust God? They did not believe that what God said was true, and they were deceived and they fell. And so horribly that happened. Well, we're going to see another married couple that thankfully they got to the place of trusting in God's faithfulness, and that was Abraham and Sarah, who are our, you could say, our father and mother in the faith, in that they did it and there were results that still reverberate to our life today because they trusted God. So on what basis do we trust God? All right? Because that might be just kind of a cliche, trust God or have faith in God, but why? All right? What evidence is it? Is it based on things that I've seen in my lifetime? Is it based on the testimonies of others? All right? Is it that God has a mysterious and sovereign plan for our life that is hidden in our lifetime, and we'll only know it when we get to heaven? Is that what we trust in? Because I certainly don't see that as the theme of Scripture. All right? There is a trust that God asks us to place in him that's based on evidence. It's based on a reality that he gives to us, that he shows us. All right? And it really is one of the major themes of the Bible is that the people of God are to trust their God. And when they do, like Abraham and Sarah, there are amazing fruit and consequences that come out of that. And sadly, the Bible also tells the story of people who did not trust God, who rejected his faithfulness, and the consequences are horrible and dire. And one of the things we're supposed to do is say, I want to be among those like Abraham and Sarah. I want to be among those who trust God. Hebrews 11, by faith, all these people did so and so. And we are, Hebrews 12 says, then we are supposed to follow in their footsteps. We're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're supposed to trust God. So I believe the Bible presents the greatest amount of evidence that why do we trust God? Because he is trustworthy. He has proven himself to be that way. So if God is trustworthy, that means his words are reliable. His words are reliable. Look to Exodus 34. God is faithful. God shows forth faithfulness. Okay? Exodus 34, God speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. The children of Israel, at this moment that God is speaking, are worshiping a golden calf, having attributed this golden calf to the one who brought them out of Egypt. Constantly copying the false gods and the practices of the nations around them. And yet God still proclaims who he is. Aren't you glad that who we are does not change who God is? Never. All right? Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, or literally Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Abounding in those qualities, steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping that same chesed, steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. NIV would say, to punish the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. All right, so let's go just, if you go back to verse 6 there. So it says that he abounds in steadfast love and in faithfulness. So the Hebrew words, steadfast love, chesed, this covenant kindness, a word that is so magnificent that the English language does no justice to it. And that's why we keep trying these different words when in the Bible just made up a word in the Old King James, loving kindness. All right. But the second one there is faithfulness. The Hebrew word is emet. Emet. And it has this idea that emet means firmness, stability, certainty. That would then give us the reason to believe of dependability. Dependability. This word is used when, remember when Moses, God said, go stand on the mountain, and Joshua and the armies of Israel were fighting the enemy, and Moses' hands got tired. He was an old guy. Remember that? And Joshua and Caleb stood beside him, and they held up his hands so that his hands would be emet, steady, reliable, all right? So Moses didn't have it in him, all right, to do that. He needed help. But how many know God doesn't need anybody holding up his hands for him to be faithful, for him to be emet? And so please understand that this is a part of God's self-described nature. So we're just explaining, discovering, understanding something that God has said about himself. Now, sometimes when people begin to say, you know, what is God like? They start with the omnis, omnipresent, right? Omniscient. He's all knowing. And those are helpful, and they certainly describe some things about God. But you know, when God described himself, he didn't use the omnis. He used words that were relational to us, that he forgives. Forgives who? Forgives us. He's faithful to who? He's faithful to his people. He's faithful to his word, all right? And so God, we can only understand God in relation to him. And that's part of his very nature, is for us to know things about him, not so that we can get an exam right, or have a clever meme, but so that we can relate to him well. How many of you know in your own life, the more you know someone, the better you can relate to them? All right, maybe you married someone who is not a morning person, right? So you tend to avoid all serious conversations in the morning, okay? How many know when you first get married, you think you can change them, right? Yeah. That was someone who was married 25 years that laughed so hard. The newlyweds are thinking, no, I can do it. All right. Okay. So God declared his faithfulness at a time when his people were incredibly unfaithful to him. And so again, the incredible encouragement for us today is that God remains faithful regardless of what we see, regardless of our experience. Look at Psalm 36:5. It says this: your steadfast love, O Lord, that is chesed, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness, emet, to the clouds. Now, in the Hebrew mindset, the clouds were where God lives. So the earth is our place, the clouds, sky is where God is. And so the idea that God's faithfulness extends to the heaven, it means it's bigger than we could ever imagine. It's bigger than we will ever come to the end of. We could never go to the clouds in the Hebrew mindset, all right? So it extends there. It is immense. God's faithfulness is big and it is deep and it will never, ever run out. So again, since God is faithful, his words can be trusted. His words can be trusted. And how many of you know there are people in our life that we love them, we might have a relationship with them, but for seasons of our life or different circumstances, we don't necessarily trust their words, do they? Do we? Okay. So, you know, when we finished building the new buildings out back, there was a little bit of money left. And so we got a small loan from the bank. And it was interesting. It's not that our Pastor Haley and I and our board chair and the head of our finance, we didn't just go into their offices and shake their hands and say, hey, don't you worry about a thing. Oh my goodness, we had to give paper after paper after paper and signature. Man, I don't know if we might have even signed away our firstborn children. I don't know. There was so much paperwork. And our title deed. Because they don't believe that our words are faithful. Because they've been banking too long. Right? Okay, so... So sometimes, I hope we don't do this, but sometimes people say things, we're not supposed to do this, but sometimes people say things that they have no intention of doing. Right? In the early days, I was a kind of a bookkeeper clerk, and part of my job was in accounts payable. And, I guess I shouldn't say too much. You know, sometimes people say, hey, when can I get that check for, oh, Friday's fine. No, there's no Friday, right? You just don't want them to keep calling you, right? God is not like that. He is faithful and his words can be trusted because they are reliable. His words are reliable. All right. And so, what is God faithful about? He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to do his word. All right. Some of you know the story of Balak and Balaam. So the children of Israel cross the Jordan and they are taking no prisoners. And because of God, they are winning every battle. And so they get to where Balak is king, and he kind of does the logic, and he said, the only way that we're going to win is if I get God to curse them. And so he hired a prophet. The New Testament calls that the way of Balaam. And there are many so-called prophets today that operate in the error of Balaam, the way of Balaam, and that is they prophesy for money. It's devilish. Okay, and you can tell him I said so. Because God said so. All right. So that he hires a prophet, and that's terrible, but at least this prophet had a little bit of integrity that he still felt like, I really can only say what I hear. And he couldn't curse God's people because God just kept blessing his people. All right. And then finally, he kind of gave up. And then he had this summary, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Meaning that if God's word is on the line, he will perform it. Now, what we do have to understand, folks, is that there are some things that you may desire or want, but you don't have word for it. Within the next 2 years, I'm living in Australia. I decree and declare. Well, good luck with that. Because it's not coming from here. Okay? Now, you can boldly say, God, I thank you that your word says that Jesus has been made unto me wisdom. You said, if I ask for wisdom, I will receive it liberally. And so based on your word, I fully expect to have the wisdom I need for this decision, for this board meeting, for all the different things that are going on in my life, Father. I expect to have wisdom because you told me, you said to expect it. Right? That's trusting in the faithfulness of God and his word that is reliable. And folks, this is just one of the ways we just live our Christian life. We live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's faithfulness as prescribed in his word. 2 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Do what? Do what he says. His words are trustworthy. His words are an extension of his character. All right? His words are an extension of his character. So God is faithful and so are his words. So then our response then is we believe him. We believe him to be faithful. We believe him to do what he says. All right. Now, here's where I think sometimes either people misunderstand, or perhaps there have been times in pulpits where people have taken this beyond its biblical understanding. We don't manipulate God. He's too big. He's too strong. He's too holy. We don't manipulate God. Some people say, well, when you're talking about trusting God, you're making God to be like your waiter. No. I'm not making God out to be my waiter. He's God and he reigns in heaven and he tells me, Walker, believe what I said. Trust me. So I say, yes, sir. Amen. Let's look at an example of Abraham and Sarah. Okay, because it's a good example because the Bible itself uses them as an example all over the place. All right, and all over the New Testament as well. All right, so there are things that they did that will help us to understand how we can trust in the faithfulness of God who keeps his word. All right, Romans 4, and this is a great, great passage. We're just going to look at one aspect, but a great passage, Romans 4:25. So this is Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. So is it possible for us to waver? It is. Now, it is interesting that Paul mentions this because if we read Genesis, you could say eventually Abraham got to the unwavering part. But man, he had some chapters of wavering, didn't he? And that's encouraging for me is that if I'm wavering today, I don't have to waver tomorrow. I can consider some things about God. He did not waver at the promise of God. What was the promise? That you will have a son. And through your son, all the families of the earth will be blessed. All right. And then God clarified, it is the son of the covenant, the son that's going to come through your wife, not through your handmaiden. All right. Not through what you think it can be. So he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And I certainly believe that there is a link between strengthened in faith and giving glory to God. All right? They go together. So let's go back to where this happened in the Bible, in Genesis 15. Genesis 15. So God, for a few chapters, had been speaking to Abraham about this. All right. At the time, his name is still Abram. He hasn't changed his name to Father of Many Nations, even though he wasn't yet. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Do not assume that your current circumstances are the will of God. Do you see that? He was attributing the fact that he was childless to God doing it. And God saying, I'm reversing it. I've got a whole nother plan for you. All right. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one that's just in your household, this one will not be your heir, but one will come from you. Your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. Guess what? We were one of those stars. We are in the descendants of Abraham. We're part of how the earth got blessed. All right. Verse 6, and he, Abram, and he believed in the Lord. All right. So this verse here, Genesis 15:6, is the first time as we're going from Genesis 1 that God pauses and says, this is trust. This is faith. Now, we can say what it is or try to give illustrations, but why don't we just go back to what happened in the Bible? What is faith? What is trusting? That is, God is faithful to do what he said. That is trusting God. No, I trust in the mystery of God. No. Mm-mm. That's not what the Bible says faith is. Faith is trusting him to do what he says. Amen. A couple times that I've been around folks as they slip into eternity, and these are believers, these are Christians. Oh, I tell you what, it takes faith to die in the Lord. And I've witnessed Christians do that. There was a gentleman here at this church. His last words were, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And he slipped into eternity. Guess what? That's believing God. Based on what? Not my idea of heaven or my mama had a vision. No. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we can live in faith, and God bless, we can die in faith. All right? So believing what God says. So we also get some great insight into Sarah. Sarah was not passive in this. And so while we do see the faith of Abraham, and it is mentioned, Hebrews 11 tells us that she did not just say, well, Abraham's the head of the house, and well, he's the spiritual high priest. No. She had some bad days, but the Bible says that she came herself to a place of trusting God. Now, let's look what Hebrews says here, because it's so, it's so wonderful here. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself. Everybody say herself. And let me just tell you, husbands and wives, you both need to trust God at the same time with the same promise. Oh, this is so vital. And my wife and I have learned this over the years, and we've been honest with each other, where we might just say, I'll be honest, I'm kind of having a tough time with that. And so we take the time to find scriptures and to worship God and to persuade our heart. Okay, this is not about building up faith currency that we can go buy from the bank of heaven. No. The price has been paid by Jesus. All right. It's about my heart being convinced and persuaded about what God says. Because like Sarah, when she heard the promise, remember, she laughed, didn't she? And God asked Abraham, what's so funny? That wasn't a joke. Okay. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. So her both of their bodies were past the point of childbearing. So she received supernatural strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because there's a reason that the Bible says it happened. So it's not my because, it's what the Holy Spirit is bringing up from that story. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. So it was not just the promise, but it was something that she considered, decided about the character of the promiser. And so thank God that we can know his promises, but we have to know the promiser. We have to know that he abounds in steadfast love and in faithfulness, in emet, and that faithfulness is to the clouds. All right? Now, it is fascinating because I think the Holy Spirit could have said a number of other things here that would have been biblically true. Could he have said she received a child because God performed a miracle? Full stop. That would be a very accurate description of what happened. And yet, in this chapter, there's something that he wants us to grasp. And so he said, because she. Now, Abraham is mentioned, but it's not, we know that God did it, but it's because she judged him faithful. This reminds me so often in the New Testament when Jesus healed people. Again, he could have said a number of different things. But the thing he said more often than not, what he said the thing he said the most is, be of good cheer. Or he said something like this, your faith has made you whole. Huh. I thought it was the power of Jesus. It was. I thought it was Jesus moving with compassion. Yes, true as well. But what he emphasized to people is, your faith has made you whole. I believe one reason is for everybody else to hear, Jesus didn't pick them eeny, meeny, miny, mo, miracle for you, but not for you. That's not how Jesus healed on the earth. All right. Sarah herself received strength because, not because of passivity, not because she said, well, I just put it in the hands of the Lord. Let his will be done. No, she believed his promise and she believed that he is faithful to do it. All right. So God does what he says, but we have to trust him. We must, in our situation, believe that he will. All right? Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 3. For what if some, and this is speaking about salvation, what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? What's the answer to that question? No. So God is faithful, all right, regardless. Now, the wilderness generation of Abraham's family 400 years later that were in Egypt, and God says, I'm going to get them out of Egypt. I'm going to take them to the land that I swore to Abraham and to his kids, all right? That generation that came out of Egypt did not enter in. Why? Well, there is a because. Go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? Now, this is in, if you want to read about it, this event is in Numbers 14, when they said, we're going to fire Moses, we're going to elect somebody to have a reverse exodus. We're going to go back into bondage, go back to Egypt. All right. Whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because, here's that word because again, because of what? Because of the mysterious will of God? Nope, not at all. It was the will of God for them to enter in, and they didn't because they refused to believe God, what he said, and that he was faithful. Continually, they murmured against God. Continually, they complained against God. They accused God. You brought us out into the wilderness to kill us. Weren't there any graves in Egypt? And God finally said, enough is enough. I will not take their twisted hearts into the promised land. And that was on them. It was not on God. Amen? All right. So, when you and I have uncertainty about the promise or the promiser, it will lead to a shaky heart. It could lead to what the Bible says, an evil heart of unbelief. All right. It will certainly lead to wandering. All right. There will be things in our life that may take 10 or 20 or 30 years that was not, it could have been a lot faster had we been trusting God and trusting his word. All right. So let's put this into practice. How do we live this out? Okay, so how do we consider him faithful who has promised? All right, we believe. All right, we do the opposite of what the children of Israel did. They were examples for us of what not to do, kind of like this, maybe a safety video. Don't hold the knife like this; you're going to be in trouble. All right, don't be like them. All right, who complained. So what will we do? Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now think about it this way. What in Numbers 14, the children of Israel who were now saying we're going to go back, the tipping point for them was because they heard that there were giants in the land. How many know there are always challenges in this life? Okay. And the giants just don't fall down. Okay? You've got to go defeat them in the name of the Lord. And so they were fearful about the giants. They didn't go in. But how many of you know their great, 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 great grandkid, a little shepherd boy named David, was not afraid of a giant. And he said something and he did something. And so our faith is expressed in our saying, and it is expressed in our doing, our lifestyle. All right. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is emet, is faithful. So our confession, and again, not that you're going to live in Australia in 2 years. Some of you might say, well, you know, you're a single person. You have not someone who's even on the radar, but you say, hallelujah, I declare I'm getting married in 2022. That's a really fast window. All right. You don't even know what they're like. See, we don't. We've got to be real careful about these things, right? Just say what God says from his word. There's incredible safety there. All right. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Abraham didn't waver, right? For he who promised is faithful. We know something about the promise. We know something about the promiser. And then listen to different ways in which people in the Bible did this. Psalm 100, verse 5. This is a song. All right, this can be something that we say, that we sing. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. How many know, moms and dads, you should be speaking that over your kids? You should be speaking it if you don't have any kids. All right, this is something that was written, but it was sung. It was said, it was recited, it was memorized. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Say, with my mouth. 2 Samuel 22. The Lord is, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. These are all things that you can say and sing and declare. Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Do you know it really doesn't matter what your pastor says of the Lord? What do you say of the Lord? It doesn't matter what the TV preacher says of the Lord. What do you say of the Lord? Well, pastor, I have more of a private, silent faith. That means it's non-existent. I will say of the Lord. What do you say of him? What he says about himself. Amen. And it's not to convince him. It's to settle your heart. Amen. I will say of the Lord. And then James tells us, live that way. Live that way. Live it out. And I believe if you're looking for a job, you're unemployed and you know you can do something, all right, you've got something to offer. There are scriptures that says about what we put our hand to and that God created work. And so you can get those scriptures in your heart. Amen? But then there's more to faith than that. Somebody said, well, hey, how's the job hunt going? Oh, no, I just stay at home singing all day long. And I believe an HR agency is going to find me. My blessing will find me. No, no. You got to go get it. All right? In faith. Because I trust God, because these things are in my heart, I'm going to polish up my CV. Accurately, not falsify. All right? But I'm going to get it ready. And I'm going to get a new suit. I'm going to get a new dress ready for my interview. I am going to go in faith to the HR agencies. I'm going to, by faith, look at the places where they advertise. In faith, I'm searching, I'm looking because I trust God. All right? Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, that's not how you work. That's very different. All right? So faith acts as if what God says is true. Faith acts as if what God says is coming to pass. And so therefore I live that way. I live that way. Amen. I believe single people, this is how you court and date and stay sexually pure. It's because you believe something about your future. I believe something. And I've got a gift that I'm offering to my future spouse. And God is working on them. And I, in faith, am going to act in a certain way. Amen. And go to the singles ministry. With my fancy hairstyle. He who finds means I'm looking. And I'm looking in the right places. Okay. In faith. So David not only said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why is he defying the armies of the living God? David also said something, but then he said, he didn't say, hold my beer, but he said, you know, hold my spear here. And he went and got five smooth stones and he got it ready and he put one in. Why? Because he is acting in faith. I have killed big, hairy things before, and I'm going to do it again. Why did he pick five stones? I don't know. It doesn't matter. He just went and picked five stones, right? They were for his brothers. No, they weren't. Okay. Amen. So we trust God. We pray in faith. We sing in faith. We declare in faith. We have scriptures on our refrigerator in faith. And then we take steps that are in line with that. How many know Ishmael, Hagar, that wasn't in line with God's will, was it? That was a step out of faith, trying to help God out. He doesn't need our help. He just wants us to trust him because he's trustworthy. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you so much. We thank you that you are the faithful God. And Lord, we choose to believe that. And Lord, I know that religion and even in some Christian circles have tried to water that down to maybe our experience or our understanding. But Father, we go ahead today and we elevate you to the place that you gave yourself. The faithful God who is steadfast in love, who keeps covenant and does what he says. And Father, right now, Lord, I thank you that there will be men and women, young, old, everybody in between, Father, today, that we will rise up, Father, that we will consider you faithful who has promised. Lord, if there are some that perhaps, Lord, are uncertain, or Father, they are unaware of what you've said, Lord, I thank you today. They go home, Father. They go to connection group, Lord, and they begin to find out what you have said about their life, about their situation, about their future, and they begin to base their life on what you said, and they begin to believe it, and they begin to live it out, and they begin to watch your miraculous hand in their life, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.